views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, Your Call to Action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth.
Welcome, everyone, and you are listening live to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Living Heaven on Earth. And today I am so honored to be here talking to Cornelia on her own radio show. My name is Charlene Hess, and I have known Cornelia for a long time, and I am absolutely honored that I get to be here in this space on her radio show, interviewing her so that she can tell her story. And wow, what an amazing story it is. Last week, we were talking about her experience as a child growing up, all of the wounded areas that she had experienced, everything from child abuse to sexual molestation to growing up without a father to having to play the role of the masculine in her family and the feminine, taking care of her mother. The things that she experienced were incredible, and she has come full circle and is in this absolutely amazing place where she is the expert on emotion. And I can say that because I've worked with Cornelia for a very long time, and the process that she has taught me to go through to learn how to process my emotions, to work through all of my wounds and my limiting beliefs has been amazing. And so I'm so excited to be here in this place, and even though we're talking about a very heavy subject today we're going to be talking about emotion and suicide and what it means to be a suicidal soul and what it was like for Cornelia to transform from that place of being that suicidal place to being able to come to the other side, to walk through that incredible darkness and what that experience was like. So welcome, Cornelia, to the Cornelia Stephanie Show.
I thank you so much. And thank you, Charlene, for being here and hosting me. This is just amazing. This creation of mine and this co-creation with you to do this and to be a guest on my own show. I must say it's a brilliant creation. I feel so relaxed to be able to allow you to host me and so that I can share my story from a place of where I am today. And, you know, this suicidal topic is very heavy because I have been real sad this morning around telling this story because I don't like talking about it. I don't like talking about it because of the way that I feel about myself today. And it just breaks my heart to believe that I could have, that I almost wasn't here, that I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you today had I not had the intervention that I did and what took place in my life. And so it makes me sad. It made me grieve this morning without feeling this, because now today I can't imagine ever. It's like last week when we were talking about the emotional, when we were talking about the unworthiness And it's like that morning, I think it was in 2013 when I was meditating and I was in such a wonderful space of worth and value and honor within myself. And I'm in the meditation and a tear rolled down my cheek when I had the realization that I cannot imagine that I used to have a thought that was attached to an emotion, that was attached to a belief that I wasn't worthy, that I wasn't good enough, and that I used to make choices based on that. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, when that one tear came down my cheek, it was the last bit of that subtle sadness, the subtle energy being released, because it's such a profound realization to have, because the truth is we are absolutely worthy. We are absolutely magnificent beings, fully worthy of love, honor, value, and respect. And that we believe and lived the opposite based on our conditioning. You know, that's what we're talking about here today too. And so Now when I'm sitting here thinking about that, you know, the suicidal thing that took place when I was at the darkest place in my life, coming here from Germany. If people didn't listen to the story last week, I came to this country when I was 13 years old, and my mother got married again, and her mission was, like we talked about last week, was to always find a man so that he can help support her, that he can love her and help support her and take care of her children. Because I grew up without a father and we didn't have any masculine support in the household, if you will. So part of my own process still to this day, and for all the women out there, is releasing the negative energy of the non-support of the masculine so that we can really feel our own inner masculine coming to the fore and supporting us. But first we have to release the emotional suppression behind all of that. And so we do that through our experiences and trauma and karmic relationships and all these different things of not having that. Mm-hmm. And hopefully there is not any disease going on in the body, because a lot of times with the emotional suppression, if it was happened for a long period of time, that's where disease begins to, because it was just suppressed in a particular organ. So
let's pick up from where we were last week, you know, going from a broken inner childhood, you know, experiencing sexual abuse, all of the things that happened to you, not having a childhood. Take us back to how that led you to where you are. So you came to the United States when you were 13.
Yeah.
Tell us about how you, from that point to where you got to the point where you hit that darkest hour.
That was actually a while, because so from the time I was 13 till the time that I was 30. So that was quite a while, and a lot took place during that time. But when I came here from Germany and my mother married an African-American man who was absolutely amazing, he was the father figure that I needed, and he was also a father for my mother, because my mother was really sick at that time. She was having the epileptic seizures and she was really ill. And so he, you know, he had a big job on his hands, because here he was in the Air Force, and you know, he brought this woman with pain in her heart and these children with him from Germany during 1978, when there was a lot of racial discrimination still going on here in this country. And then he had this whole job on his hands with, you know, having the whole family that had all these emotional issues. And so really, truly, at that time when we first came here, he had his hands full, because not only was he working full time, he also had to deal with my mother, which I was so glad to give that job over now. because, you know, here was now my father, my new stepfather, and now I don't have to sleep with my mother anymore, and that's now your responsibility. So pretty much then I was focusing. I was supposed to go to school in America, but I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I was too rebellious already. The rebel in me was coming out, and I wanted to be on my own, and I could not stand being in a household all of a sudden that everything was very strict, because George was in the military and he was a chief master sergeant for 30 years in the military. So all of a sudden I'm going from a chaotic, completely dysfunctional childhood to all of a sudden strict, everything is strict and everything is orderly and everything is disciplined and everything is like, and like, wait a minute, you know, wait a minute, what's happening here and what's going on here. So I could not deal with that. But at the same time, I had the awareness that that is the man that is helping my mother. And so I ran away from home. I ran away from home at that time. And I went to Los Angeles and got a job and, you know, pretty much started working right away. And that's pretty much what I did. And I taught myself how to read and how to write. And I went to work and I took care of myself. And then about 3 or 4 years later, I ended up going back to the town where my mother and George lived. And then I ended up working there and I got my own apartment and those kinds of things. And then I met my first love. And when I met my first love, me and him were together. We were together for 13 years. And we had an amazing connection and an amazing love relationship. But at the same time, there were drugs involved. And when he ended up bringing the drugs home, for a long time, I didn't participate in that. You know, I was curious about it, but I was so naive. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. But at the same time, underneath all of everything that I had been experiencing as a kid, there were all these unresolved issues that were now coming to the surface. And so I one time just, you know, said, okay, what is that like? And it was crack cocaine. And I said, what is that like? And I just did it just one time. And after that, I became addicted. And the next day, I was an addict. And now I'm an addict in the closet, crack smoker for 4 years. And at the same time, I'm still working and I'm doing life, and I'm juggling all of these things, doing all of these things. And this was back in the early 80s. And I'm doing all of these things. And so part of what was happening is I just kept numbing the pain, because, you know, that's part of our addiction as addicts. We want to numb what it is that we're feeling so we don't have to feel.
Right, right. And I can imagine that's that place that you take when you go from being the addict and numbing your pain, and how that leads to the experience of coming to that place of wanting to commit suicide because you haven't been able to process those emotions. We're going to take a quick break, and you're listening live to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Living Heaven on Earth. And today we're talking about emotions and suicide. So when we come back, we'll know a little bit more about how we went from drug addiction to that next piece. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek has a special gift for everyone out there. To receive 3 chapters of the Knowledge Book as a special gift, send your email to mmjp99@gmail.com. That's MSNMary JP99@gmail.com now to receive this fabulous, fabulous gift of the Knowledge Book.
Integrate spirituality into your everyday lives on Universe Soul Heart Radio. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Kathleen Johnson explores the concept of sensible spirituality, keeping you grounded, connected, and centered on the path to wholeness. Kathleen has dedicated her life to facilitating holistic healing and wholeness in others. Listen to Universe Soul Heart Radio and learn how to flourish, grow, and impact all we do on planet Earth. For more information, go to universesoulheart.net.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to corneliastephanie.com. What would you do if an angel came into your car and spoke to you while driving on the freeway? Tom Lombroso is a city planner, artist, photographer, and author. This happened to him. Join Tom every first Friday of the month at noon Pacific time on the Cornelia Stephanie Transformational Radio Show. Tom will be sharing his spiritual experiences. Find out more about Tom at www.whenangelstouch.com.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
Hello and welcome back. This is Charlene Hess, and you are listening live to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Living Heaven on Earth. And today we are talking to the one and only Cornelia Stephanie. The topic of our show today is a bit of a heavy one. We're talking about suicide and emotions, and what a heavy emotion and what a heavy experience getting to that place of wanting to commit suicide is. And before we went on break, we were talking about drug addiction and Cornelia's experience of when she first had that taste of drugs, that promise of relief, and how it turned into a full-blown addiction very quickly. So as we're coming back to that, Cornelia, can you tell us more about addiction? And as the, you know, an authority on emotions, and I know that you know a lot about the experience of what is that emotion about? What is addiction about? Can you tell us more about your story as well as what that addiction is? What's the underlying core belief behind addiction? Because it's not just drugs that people get addicted to. We can be addicted to food. We can be addicted to people. We can be addicted to many things. So what is behind addiction?
We can be addicted to gambling. We can be addicted to alcohol. We can be addicted to sex. We can be addicted to, it's the addict in our humanity. So I'll speak for the addict in our humanity that is always looking for something to fill that spot of self-hate, loneliness, a lack. I want to say it's a lack of self-love. The opposite of, because really what the addict really wants to do is, rather than grabbing the addiction, whatever the addiction is, if it's gambling, if it's food, if it's sugar, if it's alcohol, if it's marijuana, or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. The addict is looking for something to shift the consciousness of the feeling state. So to get out of the feeling of where they're in. And mm-hmm. So what is it that we really want in that space instead is self-love, radical, radical, radical self-love. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the addiction. It's part of, we all have the ability to overcome the addict in all of us, and love that part in us that is addicted to all these different things that we've been conditioned by, that are continuously in our environment and face to consume.
Right. What is the core wound behind addiction?
Self-hate.
Mm-hmm. It's that unworthiness piece, that not good enough.
It's a lack of self-love. It's a lack of self-love. It's, you know, because you're constantly wanting to fill that spot, fill it with something. And so it's a lack of self-love. So if the addicts were to just fill themselves with love, the love that they are, the absolute mm-hmm. love that they are, you know, then it can be overcome. And this is part of what I want to tell the listeners today. We're talking about this really heavy subject of suicide, and I've overcome suicide in my own being, to where that is not something that can happen to me again today, because once I have such a great honor and appreciation for the life force. That's why I was so sad today that I had to talk about this, because I can't believe that I would ever harm myself. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that I would ever disrespect life force energy. And I'm so grateful that I'm still here to be able to say this, to share this story with everybody, because we can overcome suicide. It's people acting on their emotion. That's really what happens. So, you know, for me, what ended up taking place in my own life is that after the drug addiction, I had also, you know, become very successful in business. And I was a regional operations director of a company that I was very successful for 6 years. I became very successful, and then the drug addiction just ended up taking over to the point where I ended up leaving work and ended up just really going into my addiction then full time kind of thing, because then I couldn't juggle both of those things any longer. And
right.
Pretty much my first attempt at suicide was I wanted to do an overdose, because I loved smoking crack so much that I could not conceive my life. I couldn't conceive living if I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to be here, didn't want to deal with the pain, because my body was so filled with so much emotional pain from my past that if I was going to stop doing drugs now, I was going to have to deal with it.
Mm.
Okay. Mm. And really at that time, you know, that was 25 years ago. No, a lot more than that. I don't remember exactly how long ago that was, but that was a long time ago, where maybe it was 25 years ago, where we weren't there where we are today help. That the help wasn't available to us where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge piece for me. And who was going to be the one that was going to help me get beyond that, you know? And really, so I tried to overdose, you know, at attempts of suicide, because I just didn't want to participate in this life anymore. And I wanted a way out. And when that didn't work, I tried to take in so much drugs and it didn't work, and I was still here. I realized that I had to make a choice, and that was either I was going to stay addicted to drugs, or I was going to completely shift and completely let go of it and choose life.
Mm.
I made that choice. It was like, I want to live. That's what I ended up choosing, is that I want to live, because I knew that I couldn't keep going down that destructive path. And so when I chose that I wanted to live, and that's really as simple as it was. And that's how I overcame drug abuse, by choosing not to. And it was hard for a while in the beginning, but I overcame that by choosing that I want to live, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I had all of these emotional issues now coming to the surface, because now I wasn't numbing myself up any longer. So, and at the same time, started becoming successful again in my career. and not knowing how to deal with that success was also another piece for me. Because when you don't feel like you're worthy of success, then you will sabotage it. And that's what I kept on doing. I kept on self-destructing and sabotaging my own success and my own self. So here I was becoming successful again, and then I would sabotage it again. So it was that kind of a cycle. And I had gotten to the point, September 17th of 1993, where I'd gotten to the very darkest part of myself, and where I just did not, I could not go on. I didn't know what was true. And I was really looking for God. I was looking for truth. I was looking for mercy. I was looking for grace. I was looking for love. And all the places I was looking for in the church, or I was trying to find the truth, and I was, I went to the Kingdom Hall and I studied to become a Jehovah's Witness, and I didn't like that. And then I went, I was born and raised a Catholic. And so I went to all these different places looking for God, looking for answers, looking for the truth. And I could never find where it really resonated as truth for me. And so then I ended up one day in my living room on the floor, hands and knees. And that is when I was at the end of my rope. I wanted out. I did not want to live this life without feeling God, without feeling the truth, without feeling a reason to go on, to have faith and to have trust and to know what it is. And, that was 25 years ago, So it was a really, really intense time. And I said to God, I said, I want to feel you. I want to feel what it's like to feel your love, to feel your love come into my life. I want to feel your grace. I want to feel you, because I can't find you anywhere. So I want to stick around, but I will only stick around if I feel you. So, and this was a deep, deep, deep surrender of surrendering my life to God, to Source. And at the time, I didn't even really have the language for it, but I was at the end of my rope, and I didn't know what else to do. And a lot of people, I'm sure, feel when they want to act on their emotion and they want to kill themselves, it's not that they really want to kill themselves. It's that they want to kill the pain.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I myself am very familiar with this experience of having very close family members that have committed suicide. And it's, we look at all of the famous people that have committed suicide. And, when you were talking a little bit before about how you were in this place, if you were in a really successful career, you were doing great, yet you still had this gnawing, aching pain deep inside of you. So you switched your addiction from drugs to an addiction of being successful, and how that didn't fill the hole in your heart. And it's interesting, as I've heard you tell this story a couple of times, and I remember the first time I heard it being absolutely shocked, because I see you as this really amazing, bright, vibrant, powerful woman who is helping, hundreds of thousands of people change their lives and step into their wholeness. And when I first heard that story, I was like, what? Like, Cornelia? Certainly couldn't be Cornelia, could never have done that. And so your story is so powerful, because you made it to the other side and so many people don't. And I think about, when I was a young child, I learned that my uncle committed suicide, and he was a missionary. He was a missionary doing God's work in Costa Rica and Colombia, and he took his life. And then my brother committed suicide when he was 39 years old. And I have a sister who attempted suicide many, many times, who's no longer with us. And not everybody can
come to the other side, of to be in that place where you were on your hands and knees crying out to God. I remember when you first told me and you were telling me, you know, let me feel you. I want to feel you. And if I can't feel you, then I'm out. And I remember when you said that to me and how powerful that was. And I remember having that cry in my own heart so many times, where wanting to feel that connection with Source, wanting to feel that connection with God, looking for it in every single church and person and job and situation and love affair and sex and all of the things. And nothing can even come close. Nothing can even come close to that experience of when you finally feel that connection, you realize that connection to yourself. And so I love this story, and I know it's a heavy one, but I want you to share with the listeners the story that I've heard so many times about how that happened. So here you are, you're on your hands and knees, you're crying out, you are ready to completely surrender. I'm out, I'm done. I'm done. I've tried all the things I can think of, and now I'm done. Yeah. So can you share with us how did you get to the other side of that?
Well,
what happened next?
Exactly what you said. You know, I had gotten to the point where I said, okay, you know, I am really serious, to the point where I don't have anywhere else to go, and I want out. But there was a part of me that wanted to give God the opportunity to show up.
Right.
Right? Like, okay, I'm going to make the space for it. I want to feel you. I want to feel your love. I want to feel that you are here on this earth. I want to feel you inside of my body. And really, that was back in 1993, September 17th of 1993, is when the feeling paradigm was born for this lady right here. Because after that experience took place, you know, it was hours and hours and hours of emotionally bleeding on the floor, crying to surrendering my life, I surrender. I want to feel you. I want to know that you're real. I want to know that you exist. So I wanted to feel God, I wanted to feel love. I wanted to feel that presence in my heart in order for me to be able to continue on living here on this planet, to continue on staying here. And that's part of the reason why today I said, you know, God decided to take the planet back, you know, because the planet was overtaken by all this dark energy and all this negative energy and all these archons and, you know, slimy snakes. And God decided to take the planet back with so many of us light workers, beings who surrendered and called in that light and called in that love. We have to be willing to embody it in our physical body. We have to be able to know what it feels like. And that's why I say God is a feeling. So Source is a feeling, you know, this heaven, state of consciousness, it's heaven on earth, is all happening on the inside of your body. And we're releasing the old earth out of our physical body so we can embody the new earth, because we were never born to fit into the old world. We were born to create a new one.
Right.
And that was also another thing. So here I was, you know, on my hands and knees and begging to feel. And what do you do when you surrender? That was my first time of ever really surrendering. You know, some people, they surrender a thought, they surrender a belief, they surrender a feeling. I surrendered my life. I surrendered my life. And so what ended up happening is I ended up going into a deep, deep sleep for 2 days. I ended up going into a deep, deep sleep for 2 days. And this just amazing energy came through me. The only way that I can describe it, Charlene, because there really are no words other than it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that came through me and made me go to sleep. I ended up going to sleep, and I was asleep for 2 days. And when I woke back up, I absolutely know that I had God within me. Mm-hmm. When I woke back up, I absolutely knew that I could go on. When I woke back up, I knew that my life was getting ready to have an extreme cleansing, and I became homeless, and I ended up going through so much change. And at the same time, I knew this was all part of my karmic clearing, because prior to me taking my life or wanting to take my life, you know, I had done things that I wasn't proud of. Being a drug addict, what does drug addicts do? They lie, they steal, they cheat, they do all kinds of things. And I got hooked up with a crowd that I wasn't particularly proud of, and I did some things that I had to forgive myself for.
Right.
You know? And right. So yeah.
So the thing that you said earlier that I really want to touch on was that you were talking about how you had to, or you came to the realization that God is a feeling. And that living heaven on earth is a feeling, and that's something inside of us. And I think that that is incredibly, incredibly profound, because we're all, I think many of us are looking for a place, right? We're looking for this physical place. We're looking for this thing. And I think that when you come to that realization that everything is inside of you, it's what we do with our thoughts, and our emotions are what create our thoughts, and our thoughts create our emotions, and it's this cycle. And so the experiences that you have had have led you to this place where now you have become an authority on how to use your emotions to heal your life. And even in, you know, you wrote a book. I actually have this book here. This is an amazing book, you know, Peace, the Flip Side to Anger, How You Can Use Your Emotions to Heal Your Life. And that is an absolutely, it's such an amazing concept, because I think that a lot of times people look for things that are outside of themselves to try and find healing. And you created a whole system, a whole process of how to heal. And I think that there's a question that a lot of people have is, so yes, you stepped on the other side, you didn't commit suicide, you now understand that you have God inside of you, and at the same time, there's still all of the residual pain. And so I think a question that a lot of people have is like, okay, well, when does the pain stop? How do you get rid of that? And so you actually address it in your book, which I would like to bring out if I may. So I love this book. There's so many amazing jewels in this book. It's just incredible. But this particular question is, you know, when does the pain stop? After you clear the core wounds, layer by layer, the pain stops. You move into a neutral space within your being. The wounded child, the one who has been crying for your attention all your life, has now been loved and nurtured by you. The wounded ego has learned to let go of control and trust the higher self to be led from the heart. The victim, after many lifetimes of dedicated service, work, and slavery, has been retired and is now free. The addict is no longer looking for something to numb or fill a void. The addict now has chosen to fill itself with radical self-love. Nothing else will do. The wounded child, the wounded ego, the victim, the addict are no longer playing parts in your movie.
That's awesome.
I absolutely love that.
Yeah, I love that too. And that's the work. That's the work. Because we have the shadow, we have the ego, we have the inner child that we have to love free.
Mm-hmm.
We have the victim that we have to transcend so that we can step into the empowered God creators that we are. That is the truth. And that's part of the reason why I was so sad today, because just the thought that it could have gone the other way for me, because again, people act on their emotion. So if you have this emotion where you want out and, you know, you want to kill yourself or you want to kill somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you want to do that. It's you want to kill the pain. And you need to know that it's an emotion that wants to be transcended. It's an emotion that wants to be felt. And that's what people are acting upon. And so when people commit suicide, you know, I looked it up this morning, some of the famous people, Robin Williams, Kurt Cobain, Marilyn Monroe, Ernest Hemingway, Vincent Van Gogh. These are all geniuses, genius people. And, you know, that's how I feel about myself too. I feel that I'm a genius and I feel that we're all geniuses. And this is the work that we have to overcome. But the beautiful thing is we can overcome. And I want to tell you, you know, after that time, September 17th, 1993, was my final time where I said, okay, and that is when I experienced the Holy Spirit come into my life, when I experienced my own inner church, when I experienced that God is within. Here I was, 3 months later, because I became homeless, and then, you know, I had so many other things to face because a karmic clearing took place for me right away. Everything was ripped from me. But at that time, it was all okay simply because now I had the feeling of God. I had God and I knew that I was going to be okay. Cleanse and take from me whatever needs to be taken because I know I have faith. I have faith. And at the time, I really didn't even know what all of that meant. So I started a journal. And in the journal, the first three words that I wrote is, who am I? Mm. And I turned the page. What do I believe in? And then I turned the page. And I just kept writing these statements down. And then over the next few months, started filling them in. Mm. Little by little by little, I was emptying this kettle that had been filled with so much pain. And I was letting go and I was surrendering and things were being taken from me. And I lost everything and I had nothing left. And here I was in a hotel. And, an angel offered me a room in her home to rent. And I ended up being at this woman's house for over a year, and that's where I got nurtured, and a lot of love took place, and I felt safe in order to be able to face some of the things that I was now facing, because that was a long time ago, right? And, you know, like I said, we didn't have the things that we have today.
Right, right.
But I had with my journal, Charlene, I have to tell you, this stream of consciousness writing that came out of me, because it points to what I've created today and what my mission is. So
right. I'm so excited about how you have gone through and have done that. And we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Living Heaven on Earth. And when we come back, Cornelia, I want you to tell me about the stream of conscious writing, and I'm familiar with it. And I can't wait for the listeners to hear how that process works. So thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you.
Tune in the first and third Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Gain powerful insight and practical tools to support you on your spiritual journey. Access your higher self and tune in every second and fourth Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific to A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin and now co-host Jeremy Nudell, Walking the Path of Freedom. Andrew is a highly attuned intuitive oracle, energy worker, spiritual teacher, and international radio host. For more about Andrew and his services, visit andrewmartin.energy.
Winning at the game of money. Lynn Brown is now offering Full Spectrum Finance, a progressive 12-month program that will help you to navigate through the mechanics of financial expansion. Finally, a financial planner who looks at the full spectrum of money and abundance. Engage you in the mental, physical, and energetic aspects of finance. This is Full Spectrum Finance. Are you ready to get into it? For more information, go to fullspectrumfinance.com.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
What would you do if an angel came into your car and spoke to you while driving on the freeway? Tom Lombroso is a city planner, artist, photographer, and author. This happened to him. Join Tom every first Friday of the month at noon Pacific time on the Cornelia Stephanie Transformational Radio Show. Tom will be sharing his spiritual experiences. Find out more about Tom at www.whenangelstouch.com.
And welcome back. You are listening live to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Living Heaven on Earth. I am Charlene Hess, and I am the guest host here interviewing Cornelia Stephanie on her own show. And before we left for break, we were talking about the stream of consciousness writing that happened for her when she came on the other side. And I'm hoping that's going to lead into how she came to the place of where she, you know, got the information to write her book. This is an amazing book. You can get her book on Amazon. It is Peace, the Flip Side to Anger. And in here, you can hear all about all of the extra details about Cornelia's experience of how she came through the emotions, processing through addiction, how she overcame all of the things that she has, and even to the point of where she overcame the thought and the feeling of wanting to commit suicide. So many people have surrendered to that place and they didn't get to make it on the other side. And yet here we are with Cornelia creating this amazing work that she has, being here live on the radio show for all of us to listen to, because the work that she's done and the experience that she has is what's helping other people. And so welcome back, Cornelia. And before we left, we were talking about the stream of consciousness writing that happens. And I hated to cut you off. So hopefully we can tap back into that and you can tell us more about that.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much, Charlene. I just want to say that one of the most important things that people can do is sit down with a piece of paper and write down, who am I? Mm. That right there is one of the most profound experiences to journal. You know, because we're continuously attached to an identity that we think that we have. And in our awakening ascension journey, we're continuously faced with letting go of stories of our identity that are continuously changing, and then we reinvent ourselves and we give birth to ourselves time and time again. And so it's a profound tool that you can use to find out who you are by asking the question, who am I? And also by asking the question, who is God? Who is Source? Where are you in my life? Where are you in my body? How can I get intimate with you? How can I find you? I want to communicate with you. I want to talk to you. I want to feel you. I want to love you. I want to know you. Those ways for anyone to have an intimate relationship with the truth of who they are. Okay. So back to 3 months after September 17th of 1993, I'm sitting in this room and I just had my journal and I started writing in the back of my journal. And at the time, I mean, I'm a writer today, but back then I wasn't a writer. So this is what came. Guilty myself before I surrendered and begged for a miracle to happen. I used to live my life as most people do now, as if there are no principles or truths to follow. Doubts and frustrations and despair saturate our minds, and we turn to kinky substitutions in a vain attempt to find meaning in life. Drugs, sex, much of the restless activity that we pursue in a frantic effort to keep one step ahead of emptiness and loneliness. What the world needs desperately. We don't need logical arguments to convince us on how to live our lives and be happy in everything we do. I believe it's possible, miracle workers needed to demonstrate and be living examples in vivid color of all races, flesh and blood people who radiate harmony in all aspects of their lives. My wish is to make the world a better place. That's my purpose and for reason and reason for living this life. God's will sent me and sent the Holy Spirit to control my daily life. I am a new leader for our children in this world. And my wish is to team up with other gifted individuals who are controlled by the Spirit to save the earth. I have the answer, the greatest weapon of all, and the guts and desire to take on the biggest job that everyone believes is too big for anyone. Of course, that's exactly what inspires me and drives me crazy to prove that miracles really do happen. It has been said that the cure and the ills and the crimes of humanity lie in one word, which is love. And it is the divine vitality that produces and restores life to each and every one of us. It gives the power of working miracles, if we will. So that was a stream of consciousness writing 3 months after my experience.
And wow. That was 25 years ago.
That was
25 years ago.
And now I want you to look at all of the miracle workers that are out there that are absolutely conscious, absolutely awake, absolutely working miracles in their life. Love is overtaking the planet, and that's what we're here to do. Miracle workers to save the earth. Love is what it is, you know, because love is the piece of what it is that we have been denying ourselves. Love is who we are.
Right. So Cornelia, I am sure that there are people that are listening to this show and people that are going to be listening to this show in the future, because it is going to be recorded and there'll be a way for people to listen to the podcast. What do you want to say to the people that are out there right now that are in that depths of despair and they don't see a way out to see the love that you're talking about, the love being the answer? We've got just a few minutes left in the show. And so if you could just maybe touch on just what do people do when they're in that place? What do you want to tell people who are deep in depression? What do you want to tell people who are in that place that they are wanting to commit suicide in this very time of their life?
The main thing is don't act on those feelings. Don't act on those feelings. All that really needs to happen is for you to decide that you want to live and that you want to get beyond this and to make that choice and invite love, invite God, invite light, invite yourself in. And because the point is that you can overcome. You can overcome this. It's not that you want to harm yourself. What it is that you want is you want to get rid of the feelings that you have. And part of the way to do that is to really feel the grief, is to feel the sadness, to cry, to release that energy, to dive deeply into the feeling of all of those. Contact people that you know, call somebody, but don't act on the emotion and harm yourself or harm somebody else, because that is not at all the way to go. There is a way out, and the way out is sometimes is asking for help. And you can absolutely overcome this, and you can absolutely get beyond this. And there isn't anything in the world that you could have done that you can't move beyond.
Wow, that is profound. Thank you so much, Cornelia. And we are nearing the end, and I just want to remind you again, you're listening live to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Living Heaven on Earth. And please tune in next week as we learn a little bit more about Cornelia's life and how she got from the place that we've been talking about the last 2 weeks of this broken child to this amazing powerhouse woman, author, speaker, and helping hundreds of thousands of people heal their lives through their emotions. Thank you so much and have an amazing day. Thanks, Cornelia.
Thanks, Charlene. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, Your Call to Action. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio. Cornelia's joy is to engage others in practical ways, showing us how to live in the new earth in harmony with our true nature. For more information on Cornelia and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to her website at corneliastephanie.com.